So I'll be honest, I have no idea how this is about to go. No idea. Praise the Lord, yeah. I just want to let you guys know how dope Carl is. So, I don't know about you, when I get sick to my stomach or I have something that's just it's not making, it makes me feel queasy, I literally shut down. I literally go, you know what? Today is not the day for me to go outside. Today is for me to find a corner, to try to dig as deep as I can in that corner, and then never come out. And this brother, he texted me at 8:30. He's just like, hey, I just want to let you know, I feel pretty bad to my stomach, nausea and stuff like that, but I'm still going to try to preach this morning. And I'm sitting there going what are you talking about right now? I'm having anxiety for you to try, thinking about you trying to teach while you're nauseous to your stomach and stuff. So he was really going to try to go this morning. And then I think Robin, you just kind of put your foot down and said, that's no. So I guess she went out to get some ginger ale for him. And when she came back, he's sitting there like this, his head is just come on, man, what are you trying to do? So he asked me if I would fill in this morning. And I said, sure. Just to let you, we are not doing Hebrews this morning. So I figured I would not be able to do the passage this morning justice on the about 30 minutes of prep that I put into this morning. So then I thought about it and I was just like, so what could I do this morning? And then I picked Colossians 1. I'm an idiot. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So I picked another one of the passages, which is wow, this is probably as difficult as possible. But here's the reason why. And this is, so if you know Colossians 1, you probably kind of know where I'm going to go as far as the passage is concerned. So as I was thinking through this, I was like, okay, so I have 30 minutes to prep for this. What can we talk about that would connect Hebrews, this incredible book about the glory and the supremacy of Christ, and then that would connect to next week. Because what happens next week? Folks, come on, where's some gumption to that, okay? It's Thanksgiving time, guys. Yes! There's Thanksgiving Day, and then there's the day after Thanksgiving, and then there's the day after Thanksgiving. You guys understand what I'm talking about? So we have this day where we eat literally as much as we possibly can, giving thanks and asking God to bless our bodies with whatever we're putting in. We have a real problem with that in America. We really sit there and we just I'll have a double cheeseburger in front of me and go Lord, would you bless this to my body? No, that's not happening. We do the same thing on Thanksgiving, but then you have the day after Thanksgiving. I think that this day is an even a better holiday, not because of the shopping and stuff, but because I start to figure out what can I build off of the Thanksgiving dinner? And what are the other things that I can do? We had green bean casserole, now I'm going to have Thanksgiving casserole. I'm really going to put all that, and then by day three, I have literally eaten myself into a food coma, and I go, where's the fifth pumpkin pie? Can I have another one, please? So it's just this constant thing. But next week, we set that time aside, hopefully, prayerfully. I know for a long time that wasn't the case for me, but as I've gotten older, just realizing setting time aside to sit as a family and to be thankful for who God is and what he's done in our lives. And so I have Hebrews, the supremacy of Christ. I have Thanksgiving. And then what happens after Thanksgiving? Christmas, baby. We're here. And then, so we have Christmas, which is the celebration of God himself stepping off of the throne of heaven and earth and taking on the form of a baby to come live a perfect life so that way he could be the perfect sacrifice for us to be who we were always meant to be at the beginning through the death on the cross and then having victory over sin and death when that dude rose up from the grave 3 days later. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. Bless you. So we have three things this morning. We have the supremacy of Christ. We have an opportunity of giving thanks. And then the supremacy of Christ has come to earth. Emmanuel is here. And so I was sitting there thinking, like, okay, so how can I connect all those things kind of leading into the season of life? And then I immediately went to Colossians 1, and I was like, Lord, that is not the passage for this morning. I have 30 minutes, bro. And but like, it was just like, Colossians 1, okay. So, this morning, we worship because we have been saved and redeemed by the King of Kings. That he has saved us out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that is a real reason to give thanks today. This book is really meaningful to me. I have taught on pieces of this. I've never done this block the way that I'm doing it this morning. This book is interesting because Paul opens up with this thanksgiving for the people of Colossae. He's just like, I am so thankful for your faith. I'm so thankful for the way that you love the saints. I'm so thankful for the hope that you have in Christ. And then he begins to say, this is what my prayer is for you. I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of the gospel, that you would be filled with the knowledge of redemption, because out of that knowledge, out of that filling of the gospel, you will live a life that is worthy of that gospel that has saved you. And he's praying that over them. And some of the things that he prays, okay, so this life, in verse 10, this life that you have, this manner worthy of the Lord that's pleasing to him, that you're bearing fruit in every good work, that you're increasing in knowledge of God, that you're being strengthened with all of the power according to his glorious might, that you would be filled with endurance, that you would be filled with patience. And then you get to verse 12, and there's this word, that this life that you would live, if you are being filled with the gospel, if you're being filled with Jesus, then your life will be a life of thanksgiving. And I thought, man, that seems perfect for this morning. That your life would be filled with giving thanks. So this morning, what I want to do, this is not going to be a verse-by-verse breakdown. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave that to Carl when he's ready to rock and roll again. But this morning, I want to give us three things that we can be thankful for. Three things connective in this passage and these 11 verses that we have of why us, as the people of God this morning, that when we come into this opportunity of giving thanks because of the supremacy of our Savior, because he is the King, he's the King of Kings, he's sitting on the throne of heaven and earth, that's our King. He came as a baby, and today we can give thanks because that King who became a baby went to the cross and then rose up over sin and death, and he's invited us to know that gospel so that way our lives can be fulfilled and satisfied the way that they were always meant to. Praise God for that. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I don't know how long this is going to take. I told Jeremiah, if it gets bad, just shut me off. But this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to read from verse 12 to verse 23, and then we're going to blow through it this morning. Colossians 1, 12 through 23, I'm reading out of the ESV. Remember, this is what he's praying for, and part of his prayer for the people of Colossae and for us this morning is this, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Praise God. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Father, I feel very inadequate this morning. But I read those words, and Lord, you have delivered us from the domain of darkness. And you have transferred us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Lord, we could go home. And so, Lord, I beg this morning, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth, it would have nothing to do with me, but Lord, it would have everything to do with you. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. And Lord, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, that there's no reason to rely on me in any way, shape, or form. But the Spirit of the living God is here. So Lord, would you speak in a radical way? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So what's the first thing that we can give thanks for out of this passage? Well, I think the first thing that I would pick out is that the Lord has provided us freedom. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. This is the first thing that he wants them in their life of thanksgiving and their praise and their song of the Lord. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you. What does qualified mean? Anybody know what qualified is? Qualifications? What does that mean? Worthy. What's that? Worthy. Worthy. Okay. So in the way that they're using this, what would that word qualified mean? So if we take what Tim said, this idea of worthiness, what happens here in this passage? What are we talking about with this word qualified here? What's that?
Authorized.
Authorized.
Qualifying comes
from God. Qualifying comes from God. I like that. We're on the move here. What does that mean? If we have to be qualified by God, what does that mean for us in and of ourselves? We are not qualified in and of ourselves. We don't come to the table with the resume and say, God, here it is. I am very qualified for this position. We can't do that. We don't have the ability to do that. And so what's happening here when he says that you are qualified is that he is taking someone that was inadequate, who did not have the resume, and says, you are adequate now, not because of you, not because of anything that you're bringing to the table, but because of something that I am doing. That's amazing. You have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. He is talking to the people of Colossae, and he is saying, you are not qualified, but because of something that I'm going to do, you will be qualified to share in this inheritance of the gospel that so many others have done. For you and for me, when we read this passage here, folks, you have been qualified. What have we been qualified from? If we were inadequate, why were we inadequate? What was going on? Verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of light, from the domain of good things, from the domain of being good people. Does it say that in any way, shape, or form? No. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. What does it mean to be delivered? Freed? Rest? Oh, that word. Who doesn't love a great rescue? When I was, I've shared about a little bit of my experience. Right after the earthquake, like, I don't know, how long ago was the big earthquake down in Haiti? Holy cow, it's like 12 years now? Oh my gosh, it's been nuts. I can't believe how long it's been. So I went down there 3 months after the first earthquake and stuff. And we were staying at a Catholic convent down there while we were there. And you walk, when you go through the city, Port-au-Prince, even still today, like, it's just madness. It's chaos. It's terrible. It was legitimately the closest thing on this planet that I've seen where I'm just like, this is the darkest place that I've ever been to in my life. We go to this convent, and the nuns that are there, it's unbelievable because I don't know, like, when I see bad things happen, like, my first instinct is just go, like, I can't, just to feel the weight of it. But these incredible women, like, we're sitting there having breakfast, and they would tell us story after story after story after story about how a building had fallen on a family, but they were rescued from the wreckage. Tens, dozens, hundreds of people that were saved from impending doom. How? Well, people would say, well, I don't know, it's luck. No. There's something that's happening there, that they were rescued, that people came and found them and rescued them from this. Folks, in our freedom, we were qualified to have the life that the gospel promises, to be in that kingdom. Why? Because we were once a part of the domain of darkness. And if you look at this passage, it's almost like he's talking about that we were under the tyranny of darkness, that we were under the lordship of darkness, that we were under the king of darkness, that we were slaves to sin. That sounds like another passage. It's not just that I do bad things, but I was enraptured by this. This was my life. I was in the domain of darkness. And Jesus rescued me from that darkness. He saw the impending doom, and he reached out his hand. He said, come with me. He rescued me from the domain of darkness, and then he brought me. He transferred me, because I didn't deserve it. I didn't cross the line myself. Jesus brought me to the kingdom of his beloved Son, who we might have redemption. We sing that word. We talk about that word. Does anybody know? I'm sure you do, but I'm going to ask it anyways. What does the word redeem mean? What? You can shout. It's fine. Bought back. That's interesting. So I'm redeeming something. I'm buying something back. So I have to have something of worth in order to buy back something of worth. I was bought back. I was a slave here, and Jesus bought me back. I was in chains to the dominion of darkness, but Jesus bought me back from the darkness. And the only way that Jesus could buy me back is if he gave something of worth for something of worth. That he would have to give of himself in order to buy me back. Our freedom costs something. And when we give thanks, when we say, Jesus, thank you for saving me, we have to be able to think about, what did that cost? Because we can't really give thanks if we don't understand what the great cost of this is. We like those words, I was qualified, I was delivered. I love that word redemption. But when I really think about redemption, what I know is that in the dominion of darkness, the cost of my sin was death. And the only way that I don't have to reach that end is if somebody comes and he buys me back. But the only way that he can buy me back is if he dies on my behalf. How unbelievable is that story? And so when Paul is sitting here and he's saying, when you are living in a life where you are being filled with the knowledge of God, where you're being filled, living in a life of the gospel, your life will naturally start taking place where there will be thanksgiving for the fact of who I was is no longer who I am. Why? Because Jesus has qualified me. Jesus has delivered me. Jesus has redeemed me. Jesus has given me my freedom from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You want a reason to sing? Sing about that. First thing, he gives us freedom. I've already hinted at it. It's a terrible thing to do as a pastor. You want to get people to think about what's going to happen. I've already given you the answer. But where does our freedom come? Who does it come by? It comes by the King. 15 through 20 is one of the most unbelievable passages of Scripture ever. If you've never read this passage before, I'm just going to read it one more time, and then we'll jump in with a couple of points. He's talking about this beloved Son, the person who has redeemed us, the person that has given us forgiveness of our sins. Verse 15, this person, this Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. All things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Think about that for a second. The baby, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The broken man on the cross, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is Jesus. That is our King. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. That should be a little bit of a flag for us, because when you think about the book of Hebrews, particularly the way that the book of Hebrews opens, go ahead and let's turn to Hebrews 1 really fast. Carl and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago. It's like we could have just taught the first four verses literally for months and months and months and months and months. I just want to read that passage for you one more time. This is our Jesus. As we move into the Christmas season, this is our Jesus that's here. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. That is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the perfect representation of God. He is what the Father has used to say, hey, this is who I am. This is God. You don't need the prophets anymore because you have Jesus in front of you. You have God here. Emmanuel is here in front of you. He is the revelation of that. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. That word for firstborn you could utilize as supreme. He is supreme over all creation. Verse 16 and 17, and that's defined even more. For by him, all things were created. How often do you think about Jesus as creator? That makes the whole cross thing much, much bigger. That makes the baby in a manger thing much, much bigger. Because he made it. Just think about the cross. He made the wood that they nailed him to. He made the steel that they would drive through his flesh. He made the leather that they would whip him with. All of the bones and the glass, all of that was his. He created the people that would nail him to the cross. He created the people in Matthew 21 that would shout, Hosanna, and 1 week later would shout, crucify that man. And he went anyways. He created the whole thing. And not only did he create the whole thing, he created the whole thing. All of it. And I love that second part that he has in here. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Does that fill you with hope? You know why it should? Because not only did he create all of it, he's supreme over all of it too. There is no king greater than Jesus. There is no president greater than Jesus. There is no God greater than Jesus. It's Jesus and that's it. And so all the things that we get riled up about and we get scared about, and we want to mock other people and that kind of thing. We want to mock governments and we want to mock the other political party and stuff like that. Guys, do you know who your king is? And do you live in the fact that this is your king that's here? Why are we so concerned with everything else when this is our king, the one who spoke it all into existence? Does that fill us with hope this morning? But it doesn't end there. Because not only did he create all things, but then he says this. He has the audacity to say this. It's made by me, and you know what? All of it is for who? Me? Thank you, Victoria. I appreciate that. It is about me. That's great. No. I love Paul. It's not about Paul. I love Deb. It might be about Deb. That's fine. Yeah, I'm sure. It's not about me. Nothing in this world is about me. Parents, your kids are not about you. Kids, your parents are not about you. In this world that we live in, where everything is online and everything's about people seeing the best of us and all that stuff, folks, it's not about you, because the one who spoke it into existence, the one that created it all, it's all about him. Our freedom is through the one who it's all about. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 17, this is my favorite part of the whole passage. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. When I was more athletic, did you laugh? Somebody laughed. I heard it. That hurt my feelings. Oh, come on. When I was more athletic in my younger days, I used to play basketball. And one of the things that I was always really proud of is that I could always palm a basketball. So I could grab a basketball with one hand and catch it and then just hold it. It's like sticky and it's like, wow, this is impressive. Well, you're so impressive, David. Thank you. Of course. I know. I could hold that basketball in my hand. He holds the entire universe. In the book of Isaiah, it says that he spans the universe by the breadth of his palm. So whatever this universe, however big it is, and I'm just letting you know, it's pretty big. However big this universe is, I don't know. I literally cannot fathom what this even means. But he says, if you want a physical description of it, you palming a basketball is I'm palming the universe. That's dope. You're the man if you can palm the universe. He palms the universe. He stretches it out and he holds all of it together. That means nothing is out of his reach. That means that he knows about everything that's going on. He holds the universe together. He made it. It's for him, and he holds it all together. How unbelievable is that? Folks, if we're going to give thanks, that's what we should be giving thanks about. This is our Savior. He gave us our freedom, and this is who He is. The one that gave us our freedom is the one that spans the universe with His hand. The same hand that they would drive nails through on your behalf and my behalf. Praise God for that. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. The passage changes just a little bit here. And I, like I said, I mean, we could spend months and months and months and months and months on this passage. But the most beautiful thing about this, I was reading one of my commentaries, and the way that they described it is that Jesus coming to earth and dying on the cross and raising up from the dead. It's the climax of the old creation, and it's the beginning of the new creation. It's like a brand new story at this point, in this huge story of God. But everything had been pointing towards Jesus coming, and then everything that happens after for eternity will point to this moment being the start of something brand spanking new. He is the new creation. It begins with Christ. A new kingdom is here. I love verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. He's making a new creation. He's making a new kingdom for us to be in. Through the blood of his cross. It's his blood. It's his death. It's his work. And so when we think about something to give thanks for, it's the fact that we have freedom by the King. The King that would shed his own blood, that would come on behalf of us, that he would die the death that we deserve to die, so that way we might have the opportunity of being in the kingdom of the beloved Son and out of the dominion of darkness. We give thanks for that. Last thing. We have freedom by the King, and it's for a new creation. Listen to these two verses, verse 21 and 22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. In our world, and in my life, it's very easy for me to forget about who I was. It's very easy for me to get into a place where I'm just going on in life and saying like, oh man, everything is good, everything is great, everything is whatever. And the moment that we start thinking like that, that like, oh man, you know what? I'm doing a really great job. I'm a good person. Everything is flowing. Everything is going well. I begin to forget the goodness and the greatness of the gospel. Because I was once alienated. I was once hostile. I was once an enemy. I was once against God. But he reconciled me back to himself. He has invited me into a new life. He has invited me into a new creation. He has invited me into the new kingdom. And that new kingdom, that new life, that new creation, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with the work of Jesus. That is why we should give thanks. That is why we should sit and we should sing. That's why when we get to that bridge and stronger, I love that bridge. Let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. You know why? Because this is the King, and he's come on my behalf, and he's provided me freedom by delivering me, by redeeming me, by qualifying me. When I didn't deserve it, he gave that to me. He brought me into a new kingdom. He has brought me into a new creation. He has allowed for me to be who I was always meant to be. And folks, we have to ask ourselves, are we thankful for that? Because if we are thankful for that, that transforms our lives. We love different. We act different. We are different. If that's coming pouring out of us. And here's the thing that scares me. I don't see a lot of thanksgiving. I see a lot of concern and worry. And even worse yet, I see a lot of people that are angry and bitter. And here's what scares me even more. Those people that I see that are angry and bitter, they wave the Christian flag. They hold up their Bibles. They come to church on Sunday mornings. They claim the cross. And yet when they walk out the door, there's nothing to be thankful for. When I read this passage, I see a people that will celebrate Jesus because of what he has done for us. Does that mean things are not, or that things are not hard? Of course not. I know a lot of your stories. I know it's hard. What I do see here, and what I would ask, and what I would desire for this church, desire for God's people, is that out of our lives, the foundation and the basis of what we do and why we do it is because we were once enemies of God. We were once sinners. We were once broken and there was nothing that we could do. But God didn't leave us there. And this whole story leading up to Jesus is all pointing, listen, salvation is coming. It's on the way. And Jesus arrives. And Jesus lives this perfect life. And he gives us this opportunity by his death and by his resurrection to be who we were always created to be. That we could have life. That we could have freedom, that we could be with him. And what he's asking for us in return is to hold on to the faith, to hold on to the gospel, to hold on to Jesus. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. You know, I was thinking about this. I don't know the next time that I'll have an opportunity of standing here. But until that day comes, if it does, be a church of thankfulness. If we're a church of thankfulness, that means that the gospel is flowing through us. That means we are people that are living in the power of the Holy Spirit. That means we are people that make Jesus supreme and make Him high. That means we are people that are digging into His Word and living and breathing through this. And that makes us people that have a reason to sing. So I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And as we move into this season of life, Thanksgiving, we move into Christmas, we move into this next year. Are we thankful? And don't hear me wrong when I say this. Like, it's awesome to sit around the Thanksgiving table and talk about the things that we're thankful for. But I would ask, are we thankful for Jesus? It's about Jesus, man. Father, thank you so much for the day. Lord, thank you for these incredible people, man. Thank you that our connection has nothing to do with geography. It has nothing to do with where people are at. It has everything to do with Jesus. The one who sits on the throne of heaven and earth. The one who created the universe by the breath of His mouth. The one that holds it all together in the palm of His hand. This Jesus has come on our behalf that we might be known as the righteousness of God. It's all about Jesus. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus has come, that Jesus has died, that Jesus has risen, and that Jesus is coming again. Lord, would you take this message, this scripture passage that's here, and would you just drill this right into our hearts? We are so thankful for you. And Lord, as we worship, as we respond, as we make your name famous in this place, would you receive our worship? Lord, it would be for you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.